I was raised in a Methodist church, but I'm glad one morning that God got me up out of the bed, got me in my automobile, and got me driving. And I passed Mabel Avenue Free Will Baptist Church. I passed Jackson Park Baptist Church, Jackson Park Methodist Church. I passed Jackson Park Pentecostal Holiness. I passed Lane Street Church of God. I passed Ben Avenue Free Will Baptist, Franklin Heights Baptist Church. And down there at the end of Lane Street was the Lane Street Baptist Church. And God led somebody that didn't even know nothing about God to that church. And I heard an old man tell me I'm going to hell. And then he told me how to stay out of hell. And I believed him. Amen. Thank God, been saved ever since. Turn with us to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. The Bible said, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughters against his disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? The Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? The Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Let us bow in prayer. Father, we come to thee today with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful, God, we have the privilege of being in the house of the Lord tonight. God, being able to take the Word of God and then look to the Holy Spirit to give us that God and that leadership, that anointing, God, that we need to bring forth the Word of God, that it'll accomplish the purpose our Father, you intended for it to do. We ask you, God, to set a watch at the door of our lips. Don't let us preach anything to be contrary to the Bible, the Word of God, and whatsoever we preach, that it might minister grace to the hearer, encourage the saint, edify the body of Christ, glorify the Son of God, and convict the sinner, Lord. And then our God will bow and worthy head at the foot of Calvary. We'll give glory and honor and praise unto Jesus Christ. For it is in the Lord Jesus Christ's name we pray. And for his sake, amen. Verse number 5 and 6, the Bible said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, go into the city, rise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. I want to bring a message on, ain't that just like Jesus? We find here, as we look upon these passages of Scripture, we see a man who is called the chiefest of sinners. He declared it himself to be the most wicked person upon the face of the earth. So if the chief has been saved, don't worry about it, brave, he'll save you. We find here he's breathing out threatenings, slaughters against the disciples of God. He's bringing them bound to Jerusalem, even to have them killed. This man is against the way of God. And yet as you look down through there, why he's breathing out his threatenings, why he's like a breath of a hot dog, a vicious, vile dog as he's chasing his prey. He's smitten by God and down to the face of the earth. And while he's lying there upon the earth, one swipe of the hand of God and he could be removed from the face of the earth. And yet God showed this man mercy. He showed him mercy. Ain't that just like Jesus? And I want to bring you some things tonight. As you look there, ain't that just like Jesus? He brings deliverance to the most undeserving persons upon the face of the earth. We find here a five-time adulterous woman, and at that time she was nothing but a simple whore. John chapter 4, 16 through 18, Jesus said unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Most people don't believe that, but Jesus said, she said it was so. Jesus, I said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and thou sellest truly. Man, are you talking about a wicked, a vile, filthy, ungodly woman? She's come out to the well. Hey, nobody in town wants to have anything to do with her. The women despise her. And yet she comes out there, and would you think Jesus be sitting out there on that well and do something for that one? Yes, ain't that just like Jesus? Yes. He'll take the whores of this world, and he'll make them fit women, and make them be, hey, some of them turn out to be missionaries' wives. Yes. Preachers' wives. I mean, pick up lives that's broken. Maybe you're one of them here tonight with a broken life, and your life is filthy. Some of you people sitting out there, you look down your nose at people like this. You say, I wouldn't want them in my church. Send all them whores over the New Testament Baptist Church. Get them saved by the grace of God. Give them a Christ to teach. They can teach you how to stay out of hell, friend. They can teach you about the love of God. They can teach you about the grace of God. Amen. You take my wife, was never like that. And she said many years ago, she said, I don't have a testimony. I said, you've got a greater testimony than I got. He kept you from that. She don't have to worry about it. Young people, let me tell you tonight, keep yourself clean. Stay out of this world. Hey, you've got a greater testimony. If you can go from here and walk into the cause of Christ clean. Never touch the filth of this world. Find here this poorest woman. Nobody wanted anything to do with her. That's the way there are a lot of people in Canapolis. Nobody wants anything to do with them. They're not fit for nothing. That's right. You got it right. There ain't nobody fit for the city of God. Thank God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Christ met that poor woman. Now after he met her and he told her about the water that he would give her, thank God she left the water pot and took a well hole that spring up in the everlasting life. She went and told the men of the city. She went and told everyone she'd been laying with, come see a man. Amen. Then we find a devil filled tomb dweller. Over in Luke 8:28, when he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. Thank God, ain't that just like Jesus? Here's an old boy. He can't go home to his family. Nobody wants anything to do with him. My mothers would never care their children have by the tomb and have their children subjected to all the vile language and the stricker as he run through the tomb, cutting himself. But thank God when they come out to see him, he was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Thank God, ain't that just like Jesus? Amen. He'll save the most undeserving person. Some of you out there, you're sitting here tonight, you say, preacher, would he save me? Come and try him. He's calling you. Amen, brother. He'll pick up the wickedness. He'll pick up the vilest. And thank God he'll make them fit subject for the city of God. Before you start criticizing anybody, maybe you need to read the genealogies of Jesus. Amen? I got to reading that one, then I said, my Lord, God, your genealogy is fouled up to fare you well. My God, you got a whore here. You got a Moabite. Man, you got an adulterer. You got everything. You got murders. I said, what a messed up lineage. And I said, I want to know, why is your lineage so messed up? God said, I allowed it to be messed up like that to let people know I'll choose who I want to choose. I'm God, and nobody has a right to question me. Yeah, man, thank God. Ain't that just like Jesus? You'll never find nobody else like it. Amen. This world will step on you. Paul will tell you one thing. Jesus Christ will pick you up. He'll pick that broken body. He'll pick that broken soul up, and he'll comfort that soul. And brother, he'll woo that soul, and he'll save that soul from hell. Ain't that just like Jesus? He'll bring hope at the most needful time. I read here in Luke 23 and 42 and 43, there's some crosses outside of Jerusalem. And brother, hanging on that cross is a man that's headed in capital punishment. He's fixing to die upon that cross. And hanging between these two thieves is the Son of God. And that man looks over at him and he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Thank God, ain't it just like Jesus? He stopped dying on the cross of Calvary to save a poor thief that had no hope. Glory to God. What a Savior. What a Savior. Hallelujah. Thank God. Here's this man. In just a few moments, he's stepping out into eternity. He's going to plunge into the eternal regions of the damned. He turns to the Savior. My Lord. Take some faith to turn to somebody that's dying like you, wouldn't it? Somebody just looked over and said, Lord. I know he didn't go through the Roman road. My God. He just said, Lord, remember me. Well, if you don't do it like this, you don't do it like that, you're not going to get in. Well, you're crazy as a bed bug. You think God don't know your heart? First of all, you think it's because of what you say. It's what God sees. You know why God chose David and not Eliab? Eliab didn't have the heart for it, buddy. God said, I look on the heart. God said, I've rejected him. If you don't believe it, look over at the battle. When the battle got rough over there, he is like Saul and the whole rest of the crowd, like a bunch of skunks hid over there, scared to death of this giant down there. And then got mad at his brother, accused him of something he didn't know he was talking about. You know why he was mad? He was mad because God chose David above him. And he never got over it. And he never was used, even after David become king. Search the scriptures. David never used that brother. He wasn't worth being used because God knew his heart. God knew he didn't have the heart of valor. He didn't have the heart to stand for God. Brother, when David come out there, listen, it wasn't just because of what that giant was out there saying. It was because what that giant was doing. That giant was coming out in the morning and in the evening. At the morning sacrifice, at the evening sacrifice, he's defying the armies of Israel. He's defying the God of Israel. And David said, I'll take this reproach away from Israel, brother. Amen? You wonder why we have morning and evening services? I mean, that's God's plan. It's been God's plan. That ain't Baptist plan. That's God's plan. Amen? I'm talking about here. I'm talking about here, this old boy. And then, let us behold a mother. She's tracking out of town. In Luke 7, 11 through 16. Don't have to go in time to go get the scriptures there. But she's coming out of town. She's a widow. And her son is in a funeral procession and there he lays. And all her hopes are gone. She's coming out there and she has no hope. She ain't got Social Security. She ain't got all the things they got now. This woman has no hope. And Jesus meets her coming out of the city. He walks over. Oh God, ain't it just like Jesus? He looked at her heart. He saw that broken heart of that woman. He thought she didn't have no hope. And reached over and touched that boy. And he got up, hugged his mama. Glory to God, they went back into the city. Ain't that just like Jesus? Son, he'll bring hope when it's needed. He'll bring hope when there is no hope. You say, preacher, you don't know what I'm a-facing. I'm telling you, he'll bring hope to you when there is no hope. I ain't been pastoring one church for 26 years for nothing. I like what that brother said. God didn't put no rabbit blood in me. Lord, I went through splits and everything you can imagine. God gave me a message to preach. Marriage, divorce, remarriage, what does the Bible say? That's forever knew this man. And boy, in our area, for to preach something like that, you better have a shotgun and everything you're getting ready to go at it. And I'm sick and tired of the mess, and I told him, I'm going to tell you something. Come tonight, bring your Bible, pencil, and paper. We're going to show you what the Bible says. I'm going to tell you, I've preached a lot of times in my life, but that night I had more power of God on me than I've ever had in my life. And God, they were talking to me. They was talking out loud at me. Why? Man, I went out to one guy and I said, I don't care what you say. Yeah, man, God said, look him in the eye. Don't fear up. I mean, the power of God. Yes, it caused a split. But I'll tell you one thing. We was only supporting two missionaries before that's a split, and now we're supporting 40. Sometimes you got to get rid of some people so God can get in there. When people get down and say, God, bless our little church. That's what he meant. Their little church. And we want, preacher, hear me. We want it to stay our little church. Not on your life. If God give grace, it ain't going to be. I mean, ain't it just like Jesus? Glory to God when you need. When there's no hope. And here he comes. He comes when there is no hope. It just seemed like to me that there was no hope years ago in my life. But here comes Jesus. He showed me, son, there's always hope with me. I am hope. You just need to understand that. He brings healing to the most unsuspecting person and at the most inopportune time. We have over in Luke 13, 10 through 13, we have a woman in the synagogue with an infirmity. And there she is, and Jesus touches her, and everybody gets upset. Look at him, he's a healing on the Sabbath day. He done it because that woman needed it, and he knew the heart of those reprobates, those religious heathens. God knew that. Ain't that just like Jesus? Just when everybody's told you that if there's no hope, God comes along and says, watch this. I really believe right this day that God is pulling some of the most unusual things, because there ain't a weatherman in the countryside that's been able to tell the weather in 2 or 3 years. He'll say, this is what's fixing to happen. God says, watch this. You know why? Because they claim they're giving the weather. They're doing it. Didn't I give you a good Saturday to play golf? No. God sends the rain on the just and the unjust. The Bible said he hath way in the whirlwind and the clouds are the dust of his feet. The Bible said God rules on the circle of the earth. The Bible makes it plain and clear that God sends his winds in a circuit. Would that be the jet stream? I think it would be. I'll tell you something else. You watch what they say? I heard a weatherman say this, and he's showing a picture, and he said, now, the rain is in the bright cloud. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. And God said that in the Word of God. God said, I will make bright clouds and give you rain. Now, I've searched it in 15 translations, and there ain't but one translation that makes that statement. That is the King James Bible, and every one of them says storm clouds. You know why they say storm clouds? Because when you look up and you see that black cloud, there ain't nothing bright about it. But it's according to how you're looking at it. See, you're not looking at it the way God's looking at it. And now we got up looking down like God's looking down. We see they're bright. The rain's in the bright cloud. It's not, hey, I've seen black clouds come over and never got a drop of rain. If you got upstairs, you saw it wasn't bright. When it gets bright, you get rain. Like God said in the Word of God. I'm telling you, God will do this. You find this old man, he's laying out by Bethesda. He's waiting for the waters to be troubled. And he's laid there and he's laid there. And he can't never get in the water because he's crippled. He's hoping somebody will get him in there when the water's troubled. When the angel comes out, troubles the water. And he tells that to Jesus. Jesus knows that. And that's the one he heals. That one right there. The most unexpected person to be healed. Was that guy? Them others said, I ain't crippled. I might be blind, but I believe I can beat somebody to that pool. Now those others says, jumping into the water. I want to tell you, this old man, he couldn't do it. He was laying there hoping someday that he'd get in that water. Oh, Lord God, he didn't need the water. Ain't that just like Jesus to come by and touch that man? He said, rise up and walk, thank God. You don't need Oral Roberts. You sure that God don't need Jimmy Swaggart? And if you think about Jim Baker, just forget it. He's one of the best toilet cleaners there are in the business. That's what he done in prison, clean toilets. That's all he's qualified to do is clean a toilet. Because he ain't qualified to serve God. He's a reprobate from the nth go. That never was a minute. People said, oh, that ministry has hurt. What ministry? That never was a ministry. That's a clown show. Man, that's like watching Red Skelton. His wife, my friend, oh, Lord God. She's done married another, and then they got him, fixed sending him to prison. I wonder who she's going to go now. They said she went up when Jim was in prison. He said, sing to me, Tammy, please sing to me. She said, I got the money, honey. You got the time. Amen. I'm talking about, ain't it just like Jesus? What you ought to do is realize it's Jesus. That's who it is. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we surrender all to Him, and we trust Him, I'm going to tell you this one night, friend, that I was that close to taking a gun and killing some people. I was that close. The devil told me, he said, bring your gun back in. I stood up on top of the mill. He said, bring your gun back and kill both of them. I turned and the Holy Ghost said, listen to me, boy. You better think for a moment. You better count the cost. And I fell down on top of that mill. He said, your daddy's going to hell. What's going to happen to your children? And I fell down on top of that mill. I said, God, what am I going to do? He said, trust me. Just trust me. And I said, I'll do that, God. I'll just trust you. And that's what I've done. By doing that, God's let me pastor a church for 26 years. I wasn't pastoring then, friend. I wasn't even preaching then. When God called me to preach, everybody told me, you can't. And I said, why don't you tell God I've told Him to? Man, don't get mad at me and jump on me. Bless God, I told Him. I said, you know what you're doing. You can't do this. God said, I am. I said, well, if you are, you better show me you're going to do it. I'm like Gideon. I'm going to have to see. I might see some stuff like Gideon saw. And I, that night I got up out of that altar. I went home. The phone was ringing. Picked up the phone. He said, "Hey, Bob." Said, "How you doing?" I said, "Yeah." This brother's on the hillside's glory right now. He said, brother, "Hadn't you spoken churches?" I said, "Well, I've spoken our church." He said, "Would you go down there on 601? They need somebody to go down there and preach for them Sunday morning, Sunday night." I said, "Well, I'll do that." Man, I went down there. God gave me a message out of Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And I went down there and preached, and four souls got saved. Preached that night, and two more got saved that night. And the deacons come to me and said, "Would you supply a pastor our church?" I said, "Whoa." And I got down praying. God said, "Well, you wanted it. You wanted it, so I give it just like I give it to Gideon." Now go do what I said, boy. Go do what I said. Boy, I'm glad. Ain't that just like Jesus? Oh, hallelujah. Thank God. Listen. He'll supply your need at the most needed time. When his disciples was out there on the waters, and he came down and he said unto them, he said, "Children, have you any meat?" And they answered him, "No." And he said unto them, "Cast thy net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Hallelujah. They had toiled all night, hadn't caught a thing, and there they were out there, and Peter was naked. Peter was out there naked fishing. And brother, John said, "It's the Lord." Well, how did John know? He looked down there and them fish was standing in line getting that net. He said, "Ain't nobody fish like that but Jesus. Nobody fishes like that but him." Amen. I'm going to tell you, friend, there's some things that's just on the other side of the boat. Just when you're ready to give up on that lost loved one going to hell, don't give up, for victory may be just on the other side of the boat. Ain't that just like Jesus? Boy, he'll meet the need just when he needs that. Listen, 5,000 hungry souls and not enough to go around. Five loaves and two little fish. I mean, God even lets you know they're two little ones. About sardine size. Man, they're little. And Jesus Christ fed 5,000, not counting the women and children. Can you imagine what that kid went home and told Mama? Said, "Mom, you're not going to believe this. You know that lunch you gave me?" Said, "Man, I took it over there." And when Jesus got through with that, he fed 5,000, not counting women and children. She said, "I don't believe it." He said, "There's 12 baskets he sent home." Yeah, man, ain't that just like Jesus? He chooses the fellowship with the most unusual people. Most of the time they were of the wicked sort. In Luke 19:5, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Today I must abide at thy house." Now, you may not want the fellowship with me, but see, I don't really care, because Jesus likes the fellowship with me. And as long as he's fellowship with me, I don't really care whether anybody else wants to or not. I mean, listen, Christ chooses some very unusual people to fellowship with. You know why he chooses people like that? He knows they're honest. Because they'll get down and say, "God, I'm wicked. I'm no good. Why, Lord, why you won't fellowship me? I ain't worth fellowshipping with." He said, "I know that. I knew that before you told me, Lord."
He said, but I just like fellowship with you. You know why? Because I want him. I want fellowship with him. I want him around. I tell our church, the reason we don't have God moving in our church, you don't want him around. You got to want God to move in the midst. You got to want him to do like it does on the Song of Solomon when he said, he comes down and walks in his garden. Oh, it's sweet when he comes down and starts walking in his garden. Walking in amongst his people. Oh, he chooses who wants the fellowship with. You know, this whole world, they just cannot comprehend why God would want a fellowship with Dr. Peter Ruttman. They said, well, I wouldn't fellowship with him, but you ain't God, see? That's what your problem is. Your problem is that you look upon people and you measure people by yourself. And that Bible said when you measure yourself by yourself, you're not wise. See, I don't measure myself by somebody else. I measure myself by Jesus. Wow, man, it's hopeless when I see myself beside him. And I look at him, I said, man, it's hopeless, it's hopeless. And then I remember, oh, thank God, it's by grace and through the blood of Jesus Christ. Whoa, ain't that just like Jesus? You say, they won't fellowship with me, preacher. Jesus will. I was working in Cannon Mill Company and taking flack constantly from people and sat down and eat my lunch and bow my head to thank God for my food, and they'd take bolts and bounce them off the top of my head. I'm thanking God. And I'll tell you, it just got to where I thought I can't handle no more. I went home on the third shift and I went in the house and shut the door. As soon as I shut the door, I just broke into tears and weeping and crying. My mom said, what's the matter, son? I said, Mama, I feel like somebody that's in a warfare. I got battle fatigue and I don't know what to do. And I said, I'm going in the room. I went in and shut the door and got down beside the bed and I started praying. And two big old arms reached around me. Hugged me up real close and he said, let me remind you, son, I'll never forsake thee or leave thee. I'll go with thee. Hallelujah! Ain't that just like Jesus? I'm going to tell you, friend, he wants the fellowship with you. He who flung the stars into existence. You go out here and look at this. That's Jesus. He done that. He wants to fellowship with you, a lowly, no good creature. And he said, come fellowship with me. I want to walk with you. And I want to fellowship with you. He'll choose who he wants to fellowship. And then he calls the most unlikely person into service. In Acts 1, he calls a persecutor of the church. He calls a wicked man that admits over there in his epistles, he said, I persecuted and wasted the church of God. And God calls that man to serve him, the Apostle Paul. Boy, the great Apostle Paul. And God, listen, most people would not have had, listen, God, Paul couldn't even preach in most Baptist churches. An old man by the name of Baxter McLennan, known as Cyclone Mac. If you'd see that feller, most independent Baptist churches wouldn't let. Son, he looks like a total, completely wild man that just jumped out of Borneo. You ought to see them pictures of that old man. I got some of his messages. Most people couldn't handle his message. But back in 19 and 19, when that guy preached in Hendersonville, North Carolina. Over 10,000 people came out to hear that man preach. And they didn't have cars, most of them. It was horse and buggy and 2 feet walking to hear that man preach. And most people today, he'll choose who he wants to choose. Listen, this guy, you ought to read the story of Baxter McLennan. Man, he was so stubborn and mean, he won't stay at his grandma's house one night, and his mama wouldn't let him. He said, well, I just won't open my eyes till I get home. He run into trees. He fell over ditches. But that He was so stubborn, he never opened his eyes. He got to the front porch. God, a chooser, he wants to choose to serve him. Ain't that just like Jesus? He chose some old fishermen in Matthew chapter 4. Got old Peter and Andrew and James and John. He's walking down. Nothing. God, I mean, go get an old stinking fisherman. I mean, my God, he stinks. He's down there messing them old fish and everything else. I mean, who in the world would want them? I mean, why wouldn't he go up to the synagogue? Go up there and get one of them nice priests. I mean, go up there and get somebody clean. Why do they want them old filthy fishermen? Ain't that just like Jesus? He takes a lowly lot. If you read it over in the Epistle of Paul, Paul makes it plain and clear why he does that. He said, I choose the abased things. And the reason he said I do it, that the glory would be to me and not to man. He said, not many noble are called. There are few. God's called a few noble men in life. But most of the people that God calls into servant are some of the most ungodly, filthy, dirty people that you've ever seen in the life. And the people say, why did God do it? He wants the glory, friend, and not somebody else getting it. When people look, they say, I just don't understand that. There's that dumb Bobby Utley. He's out there, got 57 acres of land, and that church, and that camp meeting arbor, and everything's paid for. On all dime. Didn't have to beg the world for nothing. Didn't have to send our women down in front of Kmart to sell cakes and pies. Trusted God Almighty. He paid for it. God, they say, why? I don't know. You asked him. I've been trying to figure it out for all these years. And just simply one thing I know, it's that he'll get the glory. Because anybody common sense, anybody that's got an ounce of brain, if he cannot see that, he's one French fry short of a Happy Meal. If he can't see that God just picks up something and he takes that and he uses it to his glory, that he may be praised. That one day I'll be able to fall down at his feet and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for using me. Old tax collector, Matthew chapter 9. I mean, who in the world would save somebody from the Internal Revenue? My God, and take that guy and use him for the glory of God. Ain't that just like Jesus? He takes the most unlikely people and he calls them to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. He takes a bunch of beaten, battered women. And he puts them in the service. Can you imagine some old, she wasn't nothing but a slut. I mean, wicked, ungodly, and God saves her. And she's sitting back there in a little old Sunday school class. And she's teaching people about Jesus Christ. Had a woman call me and she said, Bobby, I said, yes. Are you the Bobby Utley that I know? I said, it's Corden. Who are you? She told me, I said, I'm him. She said, I was just listening to you preach, and she started crying. See, when I was a little old bitty kid, I was in a North Annapolis Baptist church. And I've never forgot them little old pictures of that woman. I know that's not Jesus. But boy, I'm telling you, as a little old kid, I'm looking down at it. And I'm looking at that little old picture she gave me. And that woman sitting there, she's teaching me about Jesus and everything else. And she has to go home and be cussed out, slapped. She's still right now. Her husband is still not saved, and he cusses that woman out every Sunday for going over there and teaching those kids. She gets up and goes to church and teaches those kids, and she gets cussed out every Sunday. That woman's been doing that for 60 years. Ain't that just like Jesus? Hallelujah. That's just like Jesus. And I'm going to tell you what he's doing tonight. He's looking for somebody. He's looking for somebody here tonight. And you say, well, I just don't, preacher, I don't think he could use me. You're the one he's looking for. He ain't looking for that crowd that thinks, boy, I'm it. I'm the one he's talking about. He ain't looking for you. He don't need you. He's needing somebody back there. Yeah, but preacher, my life's all messed up. He'll straighten it up. He'll straighten it up. And he'll clean you up. And he'll use you to the glory of God. Son, all that's back yonder. I'm glad there ain't but two people that brings up my past. That's Baptist preachers and the devil. I've never got down and prayed and God ever one time brought up my past. Never. Why? Well, he don't remember it. He chose to forget it. And he said, I'll never remember it against you no more. I'm telling you out there, there's some of you sitting there tonight. It's just like Jesus. He wants to fellowship with you. You've been all alone. And you've been thinking, ain't nobody wants to fellowship with me. Hey, the God of the universe wants to fellowship with you. He wants you to come and just sit down and fellowship with him. Oh, Brother Sanford Spry's already on the hillside of the glory. I used to love to hear this man pray. This old man would pray, and when he'd pray, you'd start looking around. You'd think, man, he's talking like Jesus sitting right here, and man, he's talking to him like I'd be talking to somebody else, you know. I mean, he brings up some of the most unusual things, talking to the Lord, and I think, and I'm going to tell you, when that old man start praying, God get all over the place. Because God wanted to fellowship with somebody, and old Sanford liked to fellowship with God. And God had come down to fellowship with him. So God wants to fellowship with you. You say, I'm wicked, preacher, I'm wicked. He says the most undeserving people. You don't deserve it. You deserve to go to hell. You deserve to burn in the region of the damned, my friend. That's where you deserve to be tonight. Everybody sitting here deserves to be in hell. But because of the grace of God and the mercy of God and the blood of Jesus Christ, you don't have to go. Ain't that just like Jesus? Let every head bowed and every eye closed. I wonder if there'd be anybody here tonight, said preacher. I'm one of them you talking about. Sometimes I don't feel like nobody wants to fellowship with me. Anybody raise their hand and said, I feel like it, preacher. Nobody wants to fellowship with me. Are there any here? I'm going to tell you, Jesus will. I see the hand. God bless you, son. Jesus Christ wants to fellowship with you. You say, preacher, you mean Jesus could use me? You who he's looking for. He's looking for somebody that wants to be used. That's all he's looking for. You want to be, he'll use you. You're here and lost without God, he wants to save you. You're the one he's looking for. You're the one he died for. Died for you. He bore your sins in his body on the tree. Why don't you come to him? Why don't you step out and come and let Jesus Christ do for you? Ain't that just like Jesus? Maybe, preacher, you're having a battle. Maybe you're being warfare, Dad. Boy, ain't it just like Jesus? He wants to meet that need. He wants to meet that need in your life. And all you got to do is come to him. Our Father, I want to thank you for the grace of God, for the goodness, Lord, you've been to this preacher. I know I'm not worthy. I've never been worthy. God, I am so thankful. God, you love me. And you saved me. And you called me. And you gave me the privilege, Lord, to be in some of the most unusual places in my life. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to give you the glory and honor and praise because, see, you're worthy. Thank you. God, move upon people and meet their need tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's all stand and sing our hymnal is number 264. You probably don't need the hymnal to sing it. Let's sing, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. He walks with me and talks with me. 264. I come to the garden. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, you know, and Cain didn't do what he was supposed to do and got mad at Abel. You know what the Lord told him? He said, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? That's just here up and down the country today. I wasn't accepted when I was a boy. We want to be accepted. These people want people to accept them. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, if you're saved, you're accepted in the Beloved. God has accepted you. Now don't worry about people accepting you. If they don't accept you, just forget it. Forget it. God will accept you. God will accept you. Let's sing the second stanza. He speaks. I got in where it said God has chosen the base things of this world. That's the basement. That's right on the bottom. Right on the bottom. Let's sing one more stanza. Sing a third stanza. I stay in the garden with him. Brother Packard, would you come? Would you come for us? And band, come on down. Let's.